Pistol caliber carbines for training and home defense. This week on Mail Call Mondays. I'm John McQuay with 8541 Tactical, and this is Mail Call Mondays, the show that answers your questions about precision rifles, optics, and equipment. Welcome to another Mail Call Mondays, and this Monday our question comes from Kyle, and Kyle asks, your experience with pistol caliber carbines and if they are worth it as a trainer slash home defense weapon. Kyle, it is a great question, so we're going to break it down into a couple of different segments. We will talk about pistol caliber carbines overall, specifically AR style pistol caliber carbines, and then we'll break it down and talk about the training and home defense side of things. So let's start by talking about the setup that I have here in front of me. This is an AR pistol and it is chambered in 9mm. So we'll run front to back through it and talk about what we have here. So it is a pistol because I do have an 8-inch 9mm barrel in here. The rest of this is Silencer Co. Octane 9 suppressor. So this is a really nice suppressed 9mm. We have a TacStar carbon fiber handguard on here. TacStar sent this out to us a while back to try out, and I've kind of threw it together in this. I'm not hugely fond of it because I have very little length left here to tighten the suppressor down. It's nice because the suppressor is completely protected inside the forearm, so you run very minimal risk of actually coming in contact with a hot suppressor. But again, keeping that suppressor tight and getting it locked on there is a little bit difficult because we are pretty much flush up here at the front end. So ideally, I would like to have this about another 3 to 4 inches shorter, and then we would be good to go. Coming back from there, we have an Aimpoint Comp M2 on here in a LaRue mount. Coming back further than that, I have a Mo K2 pistol grip on here, a Magpul Mo. Then we have a Law Tactical folding stock adapter, so I can fold it up to have a little bit more compact overall package for transport or for storage. Then at the end here, we have an SB Tactical SB-A4 pistol brace. So this is not a buttstock. This is a brace, which makes this overall an AR pistol. Now, the most notable thing about this whole setup is the magazine that I have here. Because at first, when you look at the magazine, it looks like a regular Magpul P-Mag. So the outside and the floor plate actually is a regular Magpul P-Mag. But inside, we have a Mean Endomag. So what the Endomag is its own spring, follower, guide, and then you have a ramp and an ejector on the front. So when you cram that into a P-Mag, you get the ramp and the ejector sticks out at the front of the mag, and that actually gives you the ramp for the 9mm cartridge to go up, to go into the barrel, and when that bolt comes back, then it has a little ejector on here to kick the cartridge out. So it's a very interesting setup. It does have a little tail on here to actuate the last round hold open, so it will lock the bolt back on the last round, and that really was one of the things that attracted me to the Endomag. That, and if you already have a standard AR-15 lower that is SBR'd or it's a machine gun, then you can go ahead and drop these guys in, and it makes it really quick to switch back and forth if you have multiple uppers to put on, because you don't have to worry about locking a block in and setting up the ejection and all that. So that's kind of cool. Now, if you're going to dedicate it to a 9mm or a 45, you might want to look into the regular pistol caliber lowers to get that set up. But that's what we have set up right here, just because I kind of wanted to try it out and see how it works. I will do a full review on the Endomags at some point, but because I was waiting on some other things for this rifle to come in or for this pistol to come in, I didn't get a whole lot of footage shot with the Endomags. So that is this setup right here. So let's talk a little bit about some of the trials and tribulations of the pistol caliber carbine in the AR format. Now, the AR-15 really wasn't designed to be a pistol caliber setup. There are several major manufacturers out there that have done them that way. Colt, most notably, had a 9mm submachine gun AR-15 version setup. And when you go to a 9mm or a 45 in the AR, it is no longer gas operated. It is blowback operated. So the barrel is fixed. There is no gas system in it. When the firing pin strikes the primer and lights that cartridge off, the energy of the cartridge trying to push itself out of the chamber against the bullet, which is going down the barrel, is what drives that bolt back. So depending upon how the pistol is set up or how the pistol caliber carbine is set up, that bolt is coming back with quite a bit of velocity. You have to generally run a heavier bolt than you would with an AR-15. You have to run heavier buffers than you would with an AR-15 because you have to slow that bolt velocity down. If the bolt velocity is too high, you can run into all kinds of malfunctions. You can break trigger groups. A lot of guys are finding that out now, running a variety of different competition trigger groups in ARs, that hammer is flying back so fast that it is either slamming into the disconnect or it is slamming into the other components of the trigger hard enough to actually break hammers off or break disconnectors or break other components. So when we start looking at pistol caliber carbines in the training or defensive world, the big thing we have to look at is reliability. If you are going with an AR setup for the training aspect of it, because you want to build a PCC that is similar to a 5.56 or a 300 blackout, then you really have to keep that reliability in mind. If you are going out on a training day and you're constantly having to deal with malfunctions, that may be good for malfunction training, but it's not going to be good for training whatever skill you had on the plate for that day. So that's something that we really have to keep in mind. And that is one of the reasons that I haven't really done a lot with AR pistol caliber carbines that are built together from components. Now, if you go with a high quality PCC manufacturer, for instance, JP makes a pistol caliber carbine that is dedicated, is not just a converted AR lower, you can avoid some of that problem. Now, when you look across into other options, for instance, the SIG MPX or the CZ Scorpion or one of the umpteen-jillion other PCCs that are now popping up on the market, now we sway away from that adapted AR design into something that was actually designed to be a pistol caliber carbine off the bat. The Ruger PCC is one that I see quite a bit in Steel Challenge matches and IDPA matches. It is relatively low cost and seems to work fairly well. And if you are used to running a 10/22 in Steel Challenge, then running a 9mm Ruger PCC is going to feel very similar. Now, you have umpteen jillion options for different chassis systems to build these out into a more AR type setup. But I don't believe that I would use one as a trainer for an AR because the manual arms is still significantly different, magazine changes, that kind of thing. Now, if you get a 100% reliable PCC, then using one for home defense still requires a little bit of discussion on what your intended outcome is and why you are going with the PCC over a regular 5.56 AR or over a handgun. So let's talk about that. My choice for a home defense carbine is generally going to be an AR-15 in 5.56. I generally like the setup that I have right here. So this is one that we are going to be doing a full discussion with very soon because this is probably one of my favorite AR setups that I have here. So we'll run over it front to back really quickly. Up front here, we have a Silencer Co. Saker 5.56K. This is the suppressor that I run on my duty gun. I just swapped it off onto this guy really quickly here for this demonstration. We have a Surefire M600 dual fuel here on a Unity Tactical hub with a Unity Tactical fixed front sight. This is an SLR Rifleworks Helix handguard. We have an SLR Rifleworks adjustable gas block in here, a Faxon 10.5-inch barrel, just a standard direct impingement gas tube, Magpul hand stop. Coming back to the back here, standard AR-15 upper and lower. These happen to be from RSS Defense. I've got a Vortex Spark AR, a Daniel Defense fixed rear sight. This is a Geissele charging handle. I've got a Strike Industries forward assist, a Geissele single-stage precision trigger on here, and a standard selector, standard mag release. Again, Law Tactical folding stock adapter. And the SBA4 pistol brace. So again, this is considered a pistol, but this is actually a 5.56 pistol. So why would I go with something like this for a home defense gun? First of all, this carries a lot of energy with it, the ability to do a lot of damage close up. And with ammo selection, you can run the gamut from extreme penetration, being able to go through fairly heavy barriers, all the way over to having very little penetration, but dumping a lot of energy in the target really quickly. It is fairly lightweight, not quite as light as a handgun, but still light enough that I can run this one-handed if I had to use the other hand to open doors, to grab children, to do whatever. It is short, so coming around corners, going through doors is not that big of a deal. The way that you clear houses in a team format versus the way you clear houses as a single man homeowner are significantly different. So having a shorter platform really benefits you if you are doing one man clearing, which that is a totally different video on if you should actually do that or not. So overall, this is a lightweight, compact package. Now, if I load this up with something like M855, which is the traditional surplus green tip ammunition that you find, that is a 62 grain steel penetrator round. So the M855 actually has a tungsten steel tip in it that is designed to penetrate steel helmets at 300 meters. It will tear right through walls. It will tear right through steel exterior doors. It will do pretty good damage on brick, cinder block, that kind of thing, although you're probably not going to get through and through penetration with one round. Multiples, you can punch through cinder blocks with them. I have actually taken a cinder block wall apart with a saw before shooting M855, so you definitely can cut up concrete with one shot after shot after shot. So M855 is on our extreme penetration end. That is really, really not a good choice. I would not put M855 in a 5.56 carbine for home defense. On the flip side of it, we have something like the Federal TRU-223E, which is a 55 grain Sierra Game King round. So it is actually a varmint round for more or less, loaded to a fairly fast velocity. Now you lose a little bit of velocity in a 10.5-inch gun, but you're generally going to be working in what is considered muzzle velocity range. You're generally going to be within 10 to 15 feet inside a structure. So you are sending a very light-skinned bullet that is designed to fragment at a very high velocity. So it is going to hit, it is going to dump the energy in the target, it is going to fragment very badly, and you're going to have very limited over-penetration on it. So it's very unlikely that on torso hits or headshots that it is going to come out the opposite side of the target and come out with enough velocity to pose a danger to anything on the opposite side. It is actually not my favorite round for law enforcement because it has very limited penetration capability. So if somebody is standing on the other side of a wall, it's very unlikely that you're going to be able to put rounds through the wall and get effects on them if they're using it as cover. So It is an option, though, for home defense if you are worried about collateral damage, if you are in an apartment complex, if you have close neighbors, then you don't have to worry about those rounds penetrating exterior walls and then continuing on with enough velocity to do damage to other people and other property. So with the AR in 5.56, you really have the option to select ammunition to get done what you need to get done. Now, the suppressor on mine is because it is legal here. I have pretty massive hearing damage from the military. I have really, really bad tinnitus. It constantly harasses me. So I tend to really want to try to retain whatever hearing that I have left. Now, we can argue about auditory exclusion and all this stuff that occurs in a gunfight. I have experienced auditory exclusion in the past, but I have yet to see any studies on if you still retain hearing damage with auditory exclusion, and I would believe that, yes, you do still get hearing damage, even though you may experience auditory exclusion in a gunfight. Some of the other personalities online have argued that they don't want a suppressor because they want the entire neighborhood to know that something is popping off. I tend to believe that the entire neighborhood is going to know something's popping off if you light up a suppressed AR inside, because we all know suppressed is not silenced. It is still going to be loud. It is still going to crack. You are still going to get some ringing. So if you've got close neighbors, they're probably going to know that something occurred. Handling, how to notify law enforcement, that should already be in your home defense plan. So I prefer the suppressor, but again, that's a personal choice. Underneath this suppressor, I happen to have a Lantac Dragon Brake, which this is an absolute no-go for inside of a structure. Not only is it extremely loud, but the blast that you get out of it on a 10.5-inch barrel really marks it off as a no-go inside of a structure. In fact, I went with the Lantac ASR that allows me to add the suppressor specifically so that when I take this gun and do any kind of inside the structure classes, any type of shoot house classes, I am not rattling the teeth of other teammates that are in there. So back to the overall setup on this gun, it has a light on it. Any gun that you are using in a home defense situation needs a light. We're not worried about carry. We're not worried about concealment. It needs a light. It's very easy to put a light on here. I realize that the Surefire Dual Fuel is a little bit expensive. We also have a Cloud Defensive Owl, which is an amazing, amazing weapon light. Cloud Defensive is releasing the Rain very soon. So another light in this kind of format that would actually work right in this setup, that is a great option. Olight, we have talked about them. If you need to go on the budget side of things, Olight has a couple of options that work well as a light on a carbine. So everything else is generally going to be personal preference. Dot sights, I really prefer dot sights, but in home defense ranges, iron sights will work just fine. In fact, looking over the iron sights is still going to work just fine unless you have to take precision headshots. So it is going to be such close range inside most houses that instinct or point shooting will still get the job done, although not my favorite. So I really do like the dot sight. So now let's talk about the handgun. So the handgun is on the other end of the spectrum from the 5.56 AR inside the house. The handgun has quite a few advantages and has some drawbacks. The first drawback, of course, is energy delivered on the target. There is nothing that you are going to fire out of a standard handgun that is going to match what you are going to get out of a 10.5-inch and longer barreled AR. You're just going to get more energy in target. You're going to get more effective damage to the target. So with the handgun, A lot of it is going to come down to what ammunition you load this with. A lot of this advice, period, is going to be ammunition specific, even when you get back into the PCC. So for handguns, you really need a jacketed hollow point if you're loading it for defensive purposes. Full metal jacket ammunition does not perform well on targets, even if you are talking about the grand old 45 ACP. If you're shooting a 230 grain hardball load, yes, it punches a larger hole than a 9mm through, but you are not getting the most out of that cartridge. You need an expanding cartridge. You need a jacketed hollow point. The ammunition is more expensive, but in the long run, it is definitely worthwhile if you ever need to use it. Buy jacketed hollow point ammunition, load your defensive weapons with it, make sure you have tested its reliability, and then once a year or once every 2 years, cycle that ammunition out, shoot it up, replace it with fresh ammunition. You don't need to train with that other than occasionally making sure it's still reliable and still runs in your gun. But you need to have your handgun loaded with jacketed hollow point or expanding ammunition in order to get the most effective use out of it. Now, the huge benefits with the handgun are in mobility. You have a much more compact setup, so if you need to clear corners, then you can come back in. If you need to open doors, you have a spare hand to open doors. Firing from retention is much easier with a handgun. Carrying children, getting control of dogs, all that stuff is much easier with a handgun. My preference on handgun setup is something in a full-size variety. This is a P320 full with the Romeo 1 red dot sight on here and a Surefire XH35 weapon light. This does happen to have a Faxon threaded barrel in here, and that's simply because I have been using this quite a bit with a suppressor. And it has a Gray Guns X grip that's got extra stippling and a regular SIG P320 X magwell. So this handgun would make a very, very good home defense handgun because I have 21 round magazines for it. So you have 21 rounds on tap, and the reality is with a handgun like this, your average nightstand gun, it's going to be a bump in the night thing where you grab the gun and go. Not a lot of guys are going to have the forethought to grab spare magazines, grab whatever extra stuff, and put it on. It's generally going to be a grab the gun and go. That's just what I see in the real world. Now, obviously, you can rig up some chest rig where you've got your gun and you've got spare mags and all this stuff that you can grab and throw on, but that's going to be a personal decision. Usually I have a handgun and a spare mag in a carrier sitting on my nightstand so I can grab it, clip it into my belt and go. But if you, depending on what you wear to bed and what you have standing by, that may not be really practical either. Now, we'll talk about suppressors real quick again on this gun. So handguns are still very, very, very loud inside of a structure. They are not hearing safe, but they are not going to cause the same level of damage that an unsuppressed rifle is going to cause inside of a structure. Running a suppressor on a defensive handgun inside a structure is not something that I would generally do. Reason being, because you make this package so much larger, you make it more difficult to control in a fight. You make it more difficult to clear things with, and it slows the handgun down significantly. Firing this handgun, transitioning to different targets, doing every task that you need to do with a handgun is slower when you attach a suppressor on it. The legal aspect of defending after the fight is not something I'm really going to go into, because most of the time, if it's a lawful shoot, it's a lawful shoot. It really doesn't matter what you shot them with. Arguing all the other stuff, all the minutia about modifications and all that, that's something that you really need to consult with an attorney over. But I will say that in my research, I have yet to find a court case where a homeowner shot someone in a lawful manner and what they had on the gun or modifications they had to the gun became the pivotal issue. It generally is not. The issue is generally how the shoot took place and what the relationship was of the individuals that were involved. So Handgun is probably the most popular option for home defense. So it's not a great big jump then from handgun into the pistol caliber carbine. Handguns are more difficult to orient, to point. If you are not a proficient handgun shooter, then firing the handgun under stress is a little bit difficult. Carbines and pistol ARs are much easier for novices to point under stress. We've just seen that time and time again. I don't have to give somebody a lot of instruction to hand them one of these and have them put rounds into a silhouette at 10 yards, 7 yards away. So you get greater pointability, greater accuracy. Again, now you have all of the issues with clearing corners, opening doors, manipulating things that you did with the 5.56 carbine. But when we switch over to the ballistic side of it, the pistol caliber carbine has some other issues that you have to keep in mind. Again, we come back to that ammo selection. This has a longer barrel than a pistol. A lot of the pistol caliber carbines out there, you're running a 16-inch barrel. A 16-inch barrel on a 9mm is going to launch that bullet a significantly higher velocity than you would out of a handgun. So if we're talking about full metal jacket ammunition, that greatly increases that penetration risk. So you are going to punch a heavier bullet, 115 grain to 147 grain class bullet, through a barrier with a lot more energy and a lot more energy than a pistol, and it's going to stay together a lot more. So you run a greater risk of overpenetration than you do with the handgun. And if you have selected correct ammunition with the 5.56 gun, then again, you may get greater penetration. In fact, you probably will get greater penetration with the pistol caliber carbine than you would with the 5.56, but you will get less energy. So that is really something that you have to keep in mind. If you are running jacketed hollow point ammunition, like we mentioned for the handgun, if you're running jacketed hollow point ammunition in this, you really need to test the ammunition and see how it performs, because jacketed hollow points are really designed to work within a velocity range at the target. So they have to design these bullets with a mind of how much energy they're going to strike the target with, and that decides how that bullet is going to expand. If the bullet is not designed to work in the velocity range that you're shooting at, and you're shooting at much higher velocity into the target, then instead of expanding properly, it may just have those pedals fold back and rip right through the target like a full metal jacket round would. So that is really something you need to keep in mind. Again, reliability is key. You need to make sure that you don't have any reliability issues at all. Now, there are quite a few AR PCCs out there that will not lock the bolt back on the last round. That is less of a concern to me than overall reliability, because again, most of the time when we see a home defense situation, it is grabbing the gun and going, so whatever you have in the gun is generally what you have for the fight. I don't see a lot of guys throwing on chest rigs, throwing on bags that have 6, 7, 8 extra magazines in them. If that's you, if that's the way you roll, then I would definitely pick a PCC that will lock the bolt back on the last round, so that you get positive indication that you have fired the last round and you need to perform an emergency reload. So overall, now this is a long rambling video. My preference is for a 5.56 in a long gun for a home defense gun, not a PCC. If you are considering a PCC, they are excellent for competitions. I love the fact that IDPA allows pistol caliber carbines now, so you can set up a 9mm version of your AR and run it in IDPA and actually get that practice of some more interesting shooting situations than you would encounter just going out to the range just for a regular practice day. It's the same thing with Steel Challenge. Steel Challenge now allows PCCs, so you can run a PCC and get the experience of swinging that long gun with a little bit more recoil than you would with the 22s that we've been shooting in Steel Challenge for years. So for training for that experience, then a PCC can be a great option. If you have only one gun, PCC is not a bad option for home defense. If you already have, say, a Glock handgun and you want a long gun, then a PCC that accepts Glock magazines may be very attractive to you. For me, I have the luxury of selecting different weapons for different purposes, so I really, really prefer the 5.56 for an inside the structure. So that's going to do it on my opinion for pistol caliber carbines for home defense and training. Hopefully before the end of the year, we'll be able to get a SIG MPX in and a CZ Scorpion, and we may do a little bit more content over those two. We will see how things go. Now, one thing I did not mention in this is 300 Blackout. 300 Blackout for home defense really needs to be its own video. I've been doing quite a bit of work with the SIG Rattler. So if you guys want to see a video on 300 Blackout for home defense, then please drop a comment down below or send it to us on Facebook or Twitter. Let me know if that's what you would like to see. Let me know what you think about pistol caliber carbines for home defense. Do you disagree with me? I always love to hear your comments. I love to hear what you guys think about our topic. So please drop it in the comment section down below. If you like this video, please make sure you like, share, and subscribe. And if you want to support the content that you know and love, then please come over and check us out over on Patreon. Until next time, get out and shoot.